الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we at the Quran and Sunnah Society of New York welcome you all once again to our weekly live lectures with scholars and mashayikh of Ahl-e-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Today we have with us our noble Sheikh, Samahat al-Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdurrahman al-Ghadiyan, Hafizahullah ta'ala wa'a, for OIC online intensive courses, which are broadcasted live to Masajid as well as from our website www.albasira.org, and also our room in Paltalk, live senior scholars of Ahl Sunnah, English and Arabic. Today the fifth class of Surah Al-Hujurat. We thank our honorable Sheikh for continuing to make himself available and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him the best reward. And now without any further ado, we ask our Sheikh to proceed. فالآن مع سماحة الشيخ فليتفضل مشكورا معجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبق الكلام على ما يتعلق بالآيات، وهي قوله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه اتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. وبقي من الكلام على هذه الآيات ما تدل عليه من الأحكام، فمن الأحكام التي دلت عليها هذه الآيات: الحكم الأول أن الله سبحانه وتعالى حرم بدلالة النهي في الآية الأولى ثلاثة أشياء، هي السخرية والهمز، هي السخرية واللمز والتنابز بالألقاب. ومن فعل ما نهى الله عنه منها فذلك فسوق، وهو لا يجوز، وهو من الظالمين أنفسهم بتحريضها بسبب ظلمه لغيره إلى العذاب والعقاب إن لم يتب. والعلة واضحة، وهي احتمال أن يكون المسخور منه والملموس والملقب خيرا ممن عابه، واستثني من التنابز بالألقاب المكروهة من غلب عليه اللقب في الاستعمال والشهرة فلم يعد يعرف إلا بها كالأعرج والأحدب والأعمش. أما الألقاب الحسنة كالصديق لأبي بكر والفاروق لعمر وذي النورين لعثمان وتلقيب خزيمة بذي الشهادتين وأبي هريرة بذي الشمالين والخرباق بن عمر بذي اليدين وحمزة بأسد الله وخالد بن الوليد بسيف الله، فذلك جائز مقبول مألوف بين العرب والعجم. لهذا كانت التسمية بالأسماء الحسنة مطلوبة. وقد ذكر الزمخشري رحمه الله لأنه روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حق المؤمن على المؤمن أن يسميه بأحب الأسماء إليه. وكانت النكتة وكانت التكنية من السنة والأدب الحسن. قال عمر رضي الله عنه: أشيعوا الكنى فإنها منبهة. وقد لقب أبو بكر بالعتيق والصديق، وعمر بالفاروق، وحمزة بأسد الله، وخالد ابن الوليد بسيف الله. وقل من المشاهير في الجاهلية والإسلام من ليس له لقب، ولم تزل هذه الألقاب الحسنة في الأمم كلها من العرب والعجم في مخاطباتهم وفي مكاتباتهم من غير نكير. كذلك حرم الله سبحانه، لا بس تقفون على هذا، تترجمون ما سبق ثم بعد ذلك نتكلم على الآية التي بعدها.
شيخ حفظه الله started off by saying Bismillah and sending the salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions. And he mentioned that previously we had seen or gotten the tafsir of the following verses, and he recited them. The verses are as follows: O you who believe, let not a group scoff at or make fun of another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some women scoff at or make fun of other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad it is to insult one another after having faith. And those who do not repent, such are the oppressive ones. O you who believe, stay away and avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicion are sins. And spy not, neither back by one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh or consume the flesh of your dead brother? You would surely hate this. And fear Allah, very Allah is the one who accepts repentance and is most merciful. O mankind, we have created you from a male and female, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know one another. Surely the most noble amongst you, with Allah, is the one who has the most taqwa. And surely Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. The Sheikh Hafidhahullah went on and he started to deal with some of the ahkam or regulations that could be derived from the verses. And he said, the first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disallowed three things in that particular verse. One is scoffing at or making fun of. The other is yani jesting, and the other one is using ill offensive names mutually amongst the group, amongst the Muslims. Also Allah pointed out in addition to that this is a quality of corruption, and that those people who involve themselves in these types of pastime, that they are oppressive to themselves. And the consequence of this oppression is punishment unless the individual turns in repentance to Allah. The reason given here in the verse, the Sheikh said, is that the person who is made fun of may be better than the one who is making the fun or the one who is jesting at him. The person who is criticized and scorned may be better than the one who is doing it. There are some exceptions to this rule when it comes to using nicknames that may be somewhat unacceptable. And this is if a person is well known by some of these names. For example, a person may be known as the lame, the person who is blind in one eye. He may be known as the person who is bow-legged. These particular types of names, if a person is familiar with them, or they know him more by those names than any other, for purposes of knowing or distinguishing from others, there's nothing wrong. There were certain favorable names that were given to some of the companions. For example, the truthful was given to Abu Bakr. Umar was called the one who distinguishes. Uthman was given the name of the one who possesses two lights. Khuzaymah was given the one who possesses the two shahadas. Khirbaq was given the name of the possessor of two hands. Khalid was given the name Saifullah or the Sword of Allah. All of these names or these nicknames, which are praiseworthy and not blameworthy, they're accepted. And they are something that is not reprehensible in our deen. Also, we know that it is an encouragement to give the individuals, the Muslims in the community, favorable names. In one of the narrations that we have, is that one of the rights of the Muslims is that he should have a favorable name. Umar used to say, popularize the kunya, or the name where you say father of. Alright, this is something that Umar encouraged, that it should be popularized. We also have some other nicknames that were popular. Abu Bakr was called Atiq. Umar, the Sheikh repeats, was called the Faruq, which means to distinguish. And Khalid, like he said, or he mentioned previously, was called the Sword of Allah. These types of names continue to be used not only amongst the Arabs, but also amongst those who are non-Arabs as well, without any type of criticism from amongst the nations previously, and those, yani, in the time of Islam. Tafadhal Shaykhana.
الأمر الثاني حرم الله سبحانه بدلالة النهي أيضا في الآية الثانية ثلاثة أشياء هي سوء الظن بأهل الخير والصلاح والإيمان والتجسس والغيبة والظن أنواع النوع الأول ظن واجب أو مأمور به كحسن الظن بالله تعالى وبالمؤمنين جاء في الحديث القدسي فيما رواه الشيخان البخاري ومسلم وكذلك رواه الترمذي والنسائي وابن ماجه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن الله تعالى يقول أنا عند ظن عبدي بي وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه أحمد ومسلم وأبو داود وابن ماجه عن جابر لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله وقال أيضا فيما رواه أبو داود والحاكم عن أبي هريرة حسن الظن من حسن العبادة ومثل قبول شهادة العدول يعني في مجال القضاء وكذلك قبول شهادتهم في تحري القبلة وكذلك في تقويم المستهلكات وكذلك في أروش الجنايات التي ليست بمقدرة شرعا فهؤلاء كلهم يقبل قولهم ويحسن الظن بهم هذا هو القسم الأول من الظن تترجمون هذا ثم نتكلم على النوع الثاني من الظن
the other regulation that the Shaykh deals with is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse, He also forbids or makes haram certain things. And one of the things that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes haram is that you have a bad opinion or suspicion about the people of goodness, the people of good character. And that you go and start spying on these people. That is the second thing. The third thing is that the backbiting. All three things, having bad opinion or suspicion about the people of goodness, spying on them, and also backbiting, these things have been all prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are types of dhan or types of thoughts that people should have. One type of thought is wajib to have. It is compulsory. It is compulsory to have a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is compulsory to have a good opinion about the believers. There is a hadith which is collected by both Bukhari, Muslim, At-Tirmidhi, Nasai, and others from Abi Huraira, that Allah the Exalted mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah the Exalted said, I am as my slave thinks about me. We have another narration which is collected by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and others from Jabir, that it was said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that no one should die, none of you should die, unless you have a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration from Abi Huraira, collected by Hakim and others, it says that good opinion or having good thoughts is a part of perfecting one's ibadah, or it's a part of having good worship. Also, amongst those that we should have good opinions about are those people who have been determined as just or udul, and accepting their statements when it has to do with judgments, when it has to do with trying to find out the direction of the Qibla, or when it has to do with those things in the penal code where certain things have to be specified, where there is no clear specification in the Sharia. All of these individuals we should have a good opinion about and accept their statements. تفضل يا شيخنا.
النوع الثاني من الظن ظن محظور أو حرام كسوء الظن بالله جل وعلا وبأهل الصلاح وبالمسلمين مستوري الحال ظاهري العدالة. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله حرم من المسلم دمه وعرضه وأن يظن به ظن السوء. وقال أيضا عن عائشة مرفوعا من أساء لا قبل هذا وأن يظن به ظن السوء ذكره القرطبي والعلوسي. وقال أيضا عن عائشة مرفوعا من أساء بأخيه الظن فقد أساء الظن بربه. إن الله تعالى يقول اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. وروى أبو داود عن صفية قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معتكفا فأتيته أزوره ليلا فحدثته وقمت فانقلبت فقام معي ليقلبني. وكان مسكنها في دار أسامة بن زيد. فمر رجلان من الأنصار فلما رأيا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسرعا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على رسلكما إنها صفية بنت حيي. فقال سبحان الله يا رسول الله. قال إن الشيطان يجري من الإنسان مجرى الدم فخشيت أن يقذف في قلوبكما شيئا أو سوءا. أما من جاهر بالخبائث أو يتعاطى الريب فلا يحرم إساءة الظن به، فليس الناس أحرص منه على نفسه، وقد أمر الله أن يجتنب الإنسان مواضع الريب ومواقف التهم. وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رحم الله امرأ حمى عرضه. هذا هو منتهى الكلام على النوع الثاني من الظن، وهو الظن المحرم. تترجمون هذا ثم بعد ذلك نذكر لكم ما بقي من أنواع الظن.
The Shaykh continued that there is another type of dhan or bad thought and suspicion which is haram. And this has to do with you having bad thoughts about Allah, the people who are upright and just, and the Muslims whose conditions are unknown, but they seem to be in appearance upright and just. Because it is said that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred in respect to the Muslim his blood and his honor, and that it should not be, no bad thoughts should be given or directed towards him. This was by Qurti bin Alusi. Aisha radiallahu anha also mentioned from the Prophet ﷺ that a person who has these bad opinions about those good individuals is like he has a bad opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another narration was pertaining to Safiya radiallahu anha when she came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he was in his place of i'tikaf. And it was at night time. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left to go and take her to the door and to walk with her. Her door was next to the abode of Usama ibn Zayd. And whilst they were walking, two men passed by and they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Safiya radiallahu anha, and they hastened. They started to pick up their pace. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Take your time. It is only Safiya, the daughter of Huyay." And the two people said, "Subhanallah, O Messenger of Allah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the shaitan runs in the blood, runs in the inside of the son of Adam like his blood does. And I was afraid that he would cast something bad in your heart. As for those individuals who openly do corrupt things, then if he doesn't have any regard for his own honor, then he should not expect people to have any regard for him. Because it is compulsory on the Muslim to guard himself from those places and those circumstances where he's going to be blameworthy. The Prophet ﷺ said, "May Allah have mercy on the person who guards his honor." Tafadhal ya Shaykh.
النوع الثالث من أنواع الظلم من أنواع الظن ظن مندوب إليه، كإحسان الظن بالأخ المسلم وإساءة الظن إذا كان المظنون به ظاهر الفسق. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من الحزم سوء الظن. وقال أيضا فيما رواه الطبراني في الأوسط وابن عدي عن أنس، وهو حديث ضعيف: احترسوا من الناس بسوء الظن، فإذا كان الظن لاتقاء الشر ولا يتعدى إلى الغير فهو من هذا النوع محمود غير مذموم، وعليه يجتمع يحمل هذان الحديثان. وما جاء في الحكم بحسن الظن وسوء الظن وما جاء في الحكم
حسن الحكم حسن الظن ورطة وسوء الظن عصمة. وحرمة سوء الظن بالناس إنما تكون إذا كان لسوء الظن أثر يتعدى إلى الغير. والرابع من أنواع سوء الظن من أنواع الظن وهو الأخير ظن مباح، كالظن في استنباط الأحكام الشرعية الفرعية العملية من أدلتها التفصيلية بالاجتهاد، والعمل بغالب الظن بالشك في الصلاة كم صلى ثلاثا أو أربعا لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. هذا هو منتهى الكلام على أنواع الظن. تترجمون هذا ثم نتكلم على ما بعده.
The second type of dhan, it is a type of dhan which is recommended. All right? And this type of dhan is, for example, which relates or is directed to the Muslim who is to have a good opinion about a Muslim who is obviously outwardly upright. And to have a bad opinion about an individual who is outwardly expressing corruption. This type of dhan or opinion that a person should have is based on what a person shows. For this reason, there is a narration which was reported by Qurtubi, often at Tabarani in his Awsat, that the Prophet ﷺ said, protect yourselves from the people having bad opinion about you. The Shaykh mentioned that this particular narration is not sound, but the understanding of it is correct. There is another type of opinion of dhan which is just permissible. And it has to do, for example, with the deduction of legislation, legal legislation, from the evidence, the expressed and detailed evidences that we have in the Quran and the Sunnah, which is done based on ijtihad. And also, a person, this is another type of dhan which is acceptable, is when a person works with that which is more obvious in the act of worship. For example, he is praying and he is doubtful whether he's in this state or in that state. He works with what is more obvious than not. Otherwise, the principle that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith is that you leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. نعم.
بعد ذلك التجسس. وأما التجسس فهو من الكبائر، وهو البحث عن الأمور المكتومة أو السرية، ومنه الجاسوس. وكذلك التحسس، وهو الاستماع لحديث القوم وهم له كارهون، حرام أيضا، لكنه قد يستعمل، يعني التحسس قد يستعمل في البحث عن الخير، كما في قوله جل وعلا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه. والغيبة أيضا حرام، وهي من الكبائر بالإجماع، كما ذكر ذلك القرطبي رحمه الله تعالى. فمن اغتاب أحدا عليه أن يتوب إلى الله عز وجل مع استحلال المغتاب في رأي جماعة ودون استحلاله في رأي آخرين. والفرق بين الغيبة والإفك والبهتان أن الغيبة أن تقول في أخيك ما هو فيه، والإفك أن تقول فيه ما بلغك عنه، والبهتان أن تقول فيه ما ليس فيه. والله سبحانه وتعالى نفر عن الغيبة أشد تنفير، مش مشبها الاغتياب بأكل لحم الإنسان ميتا. تترجمون هذا ثم نذكر لكم ما بعده.
الشيخ mentioned that then he turned to the other area which is mentioned in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after commanding that you do not have these bad suspicions, and the Shaykh explained that, he goes on and he mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not spy on one another. And this is one of the major sins the Shaykh pointed out. And it is searching out that which is hidden, or that which is secret. Okay? Or listening to the conversation of a people when they dislike that you should listen to them. Sometimes, this is tahassus. It's different from tajassus. Tahassus, the Shaykh mentioned, is that you listen to the narration or the conversation of a people while they dislike that you do so. Sometimes this word, tahassus, which is to go and search and listen, is used in a favorable manner. For example, when Yaqub said to his sons, go, and the word used is search for Yusuf. The word used is tahassus for Yusuf and his brother. This was done in a favorable way. The other thing which is mentioned, and this is backbiting. And backbiting is also one of those things which has been prohibited. This is haram. And the person who does it, he has to repent. He has to repent. And according to some of the Ahlul Ilm, he has to go and seek the pardon from the person who he was speaking about. And there is some difference among the Ahlul Ilm concerning this particular aspect about him going and informing the individual that he spoke badly about them. There is a difference between ghiba and ifk and buhtan. The Shaykh mentions these three expressions. Ghiba is when you speak about something that is within your brother, alright, that is unfavorable, but it is something within him. If is when you speak about something about him, but it is something that reached you. Buhtan is when you speak about something about your brother which is not in his character whatsoever, it's made up. All of these things that are prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he dissuades the believers and encourages them to stay away from the act of backbiting by striking a similitude that is real reprehensible when he likens it to eating the flesh of your dead brother. تفضل يا شيخنا.
وقد ذكر العلماء أشياء ليس لها حكم الغيبة فالغيبة لا تحرم إذا كانت لغرض صحيح شرعا لا يتوصل إليه إلا به. وهذه الأمور هي ستة. الأمر الأول التظلم، فلمن ظلم تقديم شكوى للحاكم لإزالة ظلمه، لحديث أخرجه البخاري والترمذي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه، دعوه فإن لصاحب الحق مقالة، وحديث أخرجه أصحاب الكتب الستة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه، مطل الغني ظلم أو لي الواجد يحل عرضه وعقوبته، رواه أبو داود والنسائي وابن ماجه عن الشريد. الثاني الاستعانة على تغيير المنكر بأن يذكره لمن يظن قدرته على تغييره، لقوله جل وعلا لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. النوع الثالث مما تجوز فيه الغيبة الاستفتاء كأن يقول للمفتي ظلمني فلان بكذا، فما طريق الوصول إلى حقي؟ لقول هند للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث المتفق عليه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها: إن أبا سفيان رجل شحيح لا يعطيني ما يكفيني أنا وولدي، فآخذ من غير علمه. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعم فخذي. النوع الرابع من أنواع الغيبة الجائزة التحذير من الفساق، فلا غيبة لفاسق فاجر كمدمن خمر وارتياد أماكن الفجور، في الحديث الذي رواه الطبراني وابن حبان في الضعفاء وابن عدي عن بهز بن حكيم: اذكروا الفاسق بما فيه كي يحذره الناس. وفي رواية للبيهقي عن أنس وهو ضعيف أيضا: من ألقى جلباب الحياء فلا غيبة له، واتقوا الله وتوبوا فيما وجد بينكم. النوع الخامس التحذير من سر عام كجرح الشهود والرواة والمصنفين والمفتين مع عدم أهليتهم، ونصح الخاطب والشريك ونحو ذلك. والنوع السادس التعريف بلقب مشهور إذا لم تمكن المعرفة بغيره، كالأعور والأعمش والأعرج. وقد صنف القرافي ما استثناه العلماء من الغيبة المحرمة، وهي ست صور كما يلي: النصيحة والتجريح والتعديل في الشهود، والمعلن بالفسوق، وأرباب البدع، والتصانيف المضلة. ينبغي أن يشهر الناس فسادها وعيبها، والعلم السابق بالمغتاب به بين المغتاب والمغتاب عنده، والدعوة عند ولاة الأمور. هذا هو منتهى أنواع الغيبة الجائزة. تترجمون هذا ثم نتكلم لكم على ما يتعلق بالآية الثالثة.
الشيخ حفظه الله went on and he mentioned that in respect to backbiting, the Ahlul Ilm mentioned a number of things or circumstances when this act is not considered something that is bad, if there is a legal purpose behind it. And there are six categories or circumstances that were mentioned by the Ahlul Ilm. For example, a person who has to complain about some type of oppression that is happening to him, in order to do so, he has to go and mention about the individual who is oppressing him so that the oppression might be removed. There is a narration which is collected by Bukhari, Tirmidhi and others from Abi Huraira, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said about this type of individual: leave him alone, because the person who has a right, he has a right also to express himself. And also because of the hadith, the lack of payment by the rich person is an oppression. And the person who has the ability to pay but stays away from doing so, his honor is at stake. And he deserves punishment. His honor, he loses the right to for protecting his honor, and he also deserves to be punished. So the first thing is when a person is going and expressing the fact that he is oppressed. Secondly, in seeking help to change something that is bad. Seeking help when changing something that is bad. Allah mentions that in the Quran that He does not like this voicing of su or evil, except for the person who has been oppressed. So this person, if he goes and he is seeking some help to remove this harm, this is something that is also permissible. Also, the third thing is when a person is seeking a religious ruling, saying that such and such an individual has oppressed me, and he did this to me or he did that to me. This is also an occasion when you may say something bad about an individual in his character. And this is so because of the narration, which is collected by Bukhari, Muslim, and others, from Aisha radiallahu anha, where she said that Hind, the wife of Abi Sufyan, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said that Abu Sufyan is a miserly person. He does not give me what is sufficient for me and my child, except what I take without his permission. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, take what is sufficient for you. So in this case, when a person is seeking a religious ruling, it is also permissible. Fourthly, when you're warning about someone who is corrupt, someone who is openly corrupt. For example, a corrupt individual, a person who is openly drinking alcoholic beverages and what have you. There is a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, and this is collected by Hakim Ibn Hibban and others, it says, mention the corrupt person according to what he has in himself so that the people may be aware of who he is. So that the people may be aware of who he is. Also in another narration, that he has removed the modesty and caution from himself concerning the people. All of these narrations are da'if, the Sheikh said. These narrations here are not sound. But anyway, this particular thing about warning of people who is corrupt, that is another area. Number five, for example, when you're speaking about those people who are shuhud and the others who are in the position of yani passing rulings and to speaking whether they deserve to be in this position or not, you mention what this person is actually about. And also the person who is going to propose, or the one yani, who is going forward, and the lady who is going to accept the proposal, he, she should be known that this person is such and such, such and such. Also at the times where a person may be spoken of in a bad way, where his name, a name may be used, that is not favorable, is when he is well known. This is for ta'rif, when he's well known by a particular name. He may be known as the lame one, the person who is blind, the person who is such and such. If this is the case, this is something that is permissible under that circumstance for purposes of letting the people know who you're speaking about because of the popularity of this name of that individual. Qarafi mentioned some other circumstances when the person is also, when you are allowed to do these things, and he categorizes them differently. For example, when you're giving advice to an individual, when you're dealing with the people who are going to be witnesses in a particular circumstance or under certain type of legal matters, in respect to a person who openly displays corruption, this individual also, there is nothing wrong in warning the people about him. A person who is openly displaying innovations also, and when this is necessary to be done and it is called upon by those in charge of the Muslims' affairs. نعم يا شيخ تفضل.
الأمر الثالث ذكرت الآية الثالثة ثلاثة أشياء: المساواة وتعارف المجتمع الإنساني وحصر التفاضل بالتقوى والعمل الصالح. أما المساواة فالناس سواسية كأسنان المشط في الأصل والمنشأ الإنساني، فهم من أب وأم واحدة، وفي الحقوق والواجبات التشريعية، وهذه هي أصول الديمقراطية الحقة. وقد أبان الله أنه خلق الخلق من الذكر والأنثى. ولو شاء لخلقه من غيرهما كخلقه لآدم من غير أم وأب أو دون ذكر يعني أو دون أب كخلقه لعيسى عليه السلام أو دون أنثى كخلقه لحواء. وأما التعارف فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الخلق أنسابا وأصهارا وقبائل وشعوبا من أصل من أجل التعارف والتواصل والتعاون لا للتناكل والتقاطع والمعاداة واللمز والسخرية والغيبة المؤدية إلى التنازع والعداوة ولا للتفاخر بالأنساب والأعراق والأصول. فكل ذلك اعتبارات وهمية مصطنعة تتعارض مع ما تقرر في هذه الشريعة. وأما التقوى فهي ميزان التفاضل بين الناس، فالأكرم عند الله هو الأرفع منزلة لديه تعالى في الدنيا والآخرة، هو الأتقى الأصلح لنفسه وللجماعة. فإنه قد جاء في الحديث أحب الخلق إلى الله أنفعهم لخلقه. فإن حدث تفاخر فليكن بالتقوى التي هي التزام المأمورات واجتناب المنهيات. وقد أخرج الترمذي عن بسنده عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الحسب المال والكرم التقوى. وفي حديث آخر: من أحب أن يكون أكرم الناس فليتق الله. وعن أبي هريرة عن رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى يقول يوم القيامة: إني جعلت نسبا وجعلتم نسبا، فجعلت أكرمكم أتقاكم، وأبيتم إلا أن تقولوا فلان ابن فلان، وأنا اليوم أرفع نسبي وأضع أنسابكم. أي أين التقوى؟ أين التقوى؟ وروى الطبراني من حديث أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن أوليائي المتقون يوم القيامة، وإن كان نسب أقرب من نسب. يأتي الناس بالأعمال وتأتون بالدنيا تحملونها على رقابكم، تقولون يا محمد فأقول هكذا وهكذا، وأعرض في كل عطفيه. هذا هو منتهى الكلام على هذه الآية الثالثة، وهو منتهى الدرس. وبعد الانتهاء من الترجمة يمكنكم أن تسألوا عما لديكم من أسئلة.
الشيخ حفظه الله mentioned concerning the other verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned equality and getting to know one another and the characteristics of taqwa. And he mentioned that the people are just like the teeth in a comb in terms of equality, that they are from one father and one mother. They are from one father and one mother. And this is in respect to the legal rights that they all have or should have. And this is the foundation of what the democracy is supposed to be about. That he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created them from a male and a female. If he will, he could have created them without the person having, without there being a male or female, the way it was done with Adam, alayhi salam. Or without there being a father, the way it happened with Isa. And also the same type of creation with Hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for the purposes of knowing one another and being and giving one another mutual assistance. Not that we should turn our backs to one another, make fun of one another, backbite one another, because this only leads to mutual hatred and enmity. And it opposes the intent behind which the Sharia came with. Or it goes and it shows opposition to the purposes behind Islamic legislation. At-taqwa is, in fact, the place of nobility. It is with this that people are considered noble or otherwise. It is with this that people are considered noble or otherwise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once mentioned in this narration, which is collected by Tirmidhi, he said that the things of hasab is wealth. However, nobility is with taqwa. And taqwa, when we speak about taqwa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the most noble, if you want to be the most noble, then have more taqwa, or have more taqwa than anyone else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say on Yawm al-Qiyamah that I have made the most noble amongst you the person who has the most taqwa. But you refuse except to start counting your lineage and saying the son of such and such, the son of such and such. And at taqwa, the Shaykh mentioned that it is, you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, you carry out what He commands, and you stay away from all that He forbids. This is true taqwa. There is a narration where At-Tabarani mentions about Abi Hurairah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shall say, those that are close to me are the righteous on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the people shall come with their deeds, and the others will come with the dunya on their necks. And it will be said to them, like this, such and such, or hakada with his hands, to show that they are distinguished, and the ones who will be the most favored are those with taqwa. The Shaykh mentioned this particular narration, and then he said, this is the end of the dars for today, and he is going to entertain some questions, inshallah. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. Shaykhana hafidhakum Allah. بالنسبة لأسباب النزول لهذه الآية الثلاث والمناسبات ومعان
الآية الحادية عشر سبب نزولها. نعم
نعم نعم تفضل الشيخ.
قال الضحاك نزلت في وفد بني تميم الذين تقدم ذكرهم في بيان سبب نزول الآية الأولى من هذه السورة. استهزأوا بفقراء الصحابة مثل عمار وخباب وابن فهيرة وبلال وصهيب وسلمان الفارسي وسالم مولى أبي حذيفة وغيرهم لما رأوا من رثاثة حالهم فنزلت في الذين آمنوا منهم. وقال مجاهد هو سخرية الغني من الفقير. وقال ابن زيد لا يسخر من ستر الله عليه ذنوبه ممن كشفه الله فلعل إظهار ذنوبه في الدنيا خير له في الآخرة. وقيل إنها نزلت في ثابت بن قيس ابن شماس عيره رجل بأم كانت له في الجاهلية فنكس الرجل استحياء فأنزل الله تعالى هذه الآية، وقيل إنها نزلت في عكرمة ابن أبي جهل حين قدم المدينة مسلما، وكان المسلمون إذا رأوه قالوا ابن فرعون هذه الأمة، فشكى ذلك إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنزلت هذه الآية. والخلاصة أنه لا مانع من تعدد أسباب النزول، فقد يكون جميع ما ذكر أنه سبب لنزول هذه الآية. ومن القواعد المقررة من قواعد التفسير أن العبرة بعموم اللفظ لا بخصوص السبب، وهذه القاعدة كما أنها موجودة في قواعد التفسير فهي أيضا قاعدة من قواعد شرح الأحاديث، وكذلك هي قاعدة من القواعد التي يذكرها الأصوليون. فتترجمون هذا ثم بعد ذلك نذكر لكم بقية الأسباب.
The Sheikh mentioned concerning the occasion for Revelation 4 verse 11 is that a group of Bani Tamim came and they started to make fun of the poor companions or with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst them Ammar and the Khabbab, Bilal, Suhaib, Salim, the free servant of Abi Hudhayfa, and they were making fun of their real poor state. And it was on this occasion that this particular verse was revealed. Mujahid mentioned that it was the making of fun of the rich to the poor. There is another occasion for revelation, and it says that the verse was revealed concerning Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, when someone had made fun of him because of his mother. And the verse was revealed on this occasion. This was another occasion for revelation. Said that it was also revealed in respect to Ikrimah, the son of Abi Jahl. When the Muslims saw him when he came to Medina, they say the son of Fir'aun of this ummah, the son of Pharaoh in this ummah. And the verse was revealed criticizing that, or that statement of theirs. The Sheikh concludes and he says, there is nothing wrong with having a number of occasions for revelation for any given verse. And it is possible that the verse was revealed for all as a response to all of those things. And one of the principles that we have in the science of tafsir, or explaining the Quran, is that the lesson to be had is to take it from the general expression of the verse and not the specific occasion of revelation. Or the specific occasion for the verse being revealed. The same principle is used in explaining the hadith, and is also one of the principles used in Usul al-Fiqh. And the Sheikh mentioned that he will go on and explain the others as well. Naam. Tafadhal ya Sheikhna.
نزول سبب نزول قوله تعالى ولا نساء من نساء. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما إن صفية بنت حيي بن أخطب أتت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن النساء يعيرنني ويقولن لي يا يهودية بنت يهوديين، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هلا قلت إن أبي هارون وإن عمي موسى وإن زوجي محمد، فأنزل الله جل وعلا هذه الآية. فتترجمون هذا ثم نتبع ذلك بما بعده من أسباب النزول.
طيب. The Sheikh mentioned concerning another the occasion for revelation when it says, and women should not make fun of one another. Says that Ibn Abbas mentioned that Safiya, the daughter of Huyay ibn Akhtab, came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, the women are criticizing me. They're saying, O Jewish woman, the son of two Jewish men. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you say to them that my father is Harun, and my uncle, my paternal uncle is Musa, and that my husband is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the verse was revealed as a response to this. Now, tell me, Shaykh.
نكمل.
نعم كمل يا شيخ.
سبب نزول قوله جل وعلا ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب أخرج أصحاب السنن الأربعة عن أبي جبيرة ابن الضحاك قال كان الرجل منا يكون له الإسمان والثلاثة فيدعى ببعضها فعسى أن يكرهه فنزلت ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. قال الترمذي هذا حديث حسن وأخرج الحاكم وغيره من حديث أبي جبيرة أيضا. قال كانت الألقاب في الجاهلية فدعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا منهم بلقبه فقيل له يا رسول الله إنه يكرهه فأنزل الله جل وعلا ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. ولفظ الإمام أحمد عنه يعني عن أبي جبيرة يا رسول الله ولفظ أحمد قال فبينا فينا نزلت في بني سلمة ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة وليس فينا رجل إلا وله اسمان أو ثلاثة، فكان إذا دعا أحدا منهم باسم من تلك الأسماء قالوا يا رسول الله إنه يغضب من هذا، فنزلت هذه الآية فتترجمون هذا السبب ثم بعد ذلك نتبعه بما بقي من الأسباب.
The verse which mentions and do not call one another by ill offensive names. The Ashab al-Sunan, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud and Nasa'i mentioned from Abi Jubaira that there was no one except from amongst the companions except that the man had one name, he had two names, three names. And once he was called by it, it was something that he disliked. And at times they were calling by these names and he disliked it. And it was on this reason, or for this reason, that the verse was revealed. So Tirmidhi said that this narration is hasan and acceptable. Hasan and sahih. Hasan. That is acceptable. Al-Hakim mentioned also from Abi Jubaira that the alqab or these nicknames was in Jahiliyyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once called a man using one of these nicknames. And it was said to him, O Messenger of Allah, he dislikes this. And the verse was revealed on that occasion also. The expression found in Ahmad from Abi Jubaira, he said, concerning us, the tribe of Salama, was the verse revealed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina and there was not one amongst us except that he had two names or three names that he was known by. And sometimes he would be called by this name, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would call him by this name, and it would be said to him that this is something which makes him angry. He is angered by that. And it was because of this occasion also that the verse was revealed. Now, Fadhil Yashir.
سبب نزول قوله جل وعلا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. أخرج ابن المنذري عن ابن جريج قال زعموا أنها نزلت في سلمان الفارسي أكل ثم رقد فذكر رجل أكله ورقاده فنزلت هذه الآية. وسبب نزول قوله جل وعلا يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم أخرج ابن أبي حاتم عن ابن أبي مليكة قال لما كان يوم الفتح رقى بلال على ظهر الكعبة فأذن فقال بعض الناس أهذا العبد الأسود يؤذن على ظهر الكعبة؟ فقال بعضهم إن يسخط الله هذا يغيره أو إن يرد الله شيئا يغيره. فأنزل الله جل وعلا يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. فدعاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وزجرهم على التفاخر بالأنساب والتكاثر بالأموال والإزدراء بالفقراء. وقال ابن عساكر في كتابه المبهمات ووجدت بخط ابن بشكوال أن أبا بكر ابن أبي داود أخرج في تفسير له أنها نزلت في أبي هند أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني بياضة أن يزوجوهم امرأة منهم فقالوا يا رسول الله نزوج بناتنا موالينا فنزلت الآية. قال الزهري نزلت في أبي هند خاصة. وكما تقدم أنه من قواعد تفسير القرآن أنه لا مانع من تعدد أسباب نزول الآية. وهذا هو منتهى الكلام على سبب نزول الآيات وهو منتهى هذا الدرس. وإذا كان عندكم أسئلة فبإمكانكم أنكم تسألون عنها بعد الترجمة.
طيب. The verse which mentions that you shouldn't backbite one another, that you shouldn't backbite one another. The occasion for revelation for this particular verse, the Sheikh mentioned, he said that Ibn Mundhir mentioned that Ibn Jurayj, they mentioned that this was revealed concerning Salman al-Farisi, that he ate and then he fell asleep. And so they started to mention, a person from among them started to mention his eating ways and the way he slept. And because of this, this particular verse was revealed. Also, the other verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, yani, O mankind, that you shouldn't, yani, to make fun of man one from another. Hakim narrates a narration from Ibn Abi Mulayka that during the opening of Mecca, Bilal went on top of the Kaaba. And the people started to say, this black slave going on the top of the Kaaba. And then they said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends something, he can change it. And so the verse was revealed on this occasion that the people should not make this type of fun and of one another, and that yani, Allah created them from one single soul. Created them from a male and a female and made them tribes. And then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them and reprimanded them for having done so. Abu Bakr also mentioned in his tafsir concerning Abi Hind that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told some of the Arabs to marry their people to him. And they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they responded, so we may marry those people who are like our free slaves from one of us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sorry, on this occasion, the verse was also revealed. The Sheikh said, we said before that there is nothing wrong with there being a number of occasions for revelation. And this is, yani, quite common. He said, with this, this concludes the dars or the lesson for today. Now, Abu Sufyan.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم وهذا السائل يقول أبي يعصي الله جهارا ويشرب الخمر وعنده صديقات وينكر السنة كثيرا وأخشى أن يكون هو سبب دلالة أختي والأسرة فهل يجوز لي تحذير منه وهل هذا التحذير يعتبر غيبة؟
الجواب نعم يجب عليك أن تحذر منه وليس هذا من الغيبة لأن هذا من كأنا ذكرت ستة أنواع من الغيبة الجائزة وهذا نوع منها فلا مانع من أن تحذر عنه. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يودون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو ابناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. فكونه أب لك ما يمنع من أنك تظهر حقيقته للناس حتى يكونوا على بينة منه. هذا هو الجواب.
نعم. Sheikh Abu Sufyan, ممكن أن تعيد. Could you repeat the question, please?
نعم. The question is, the brother asks, my father openly sins such as drinking alcohol and having girlfriends and rejects the sunnah. I fear he will mislead my sister and other family members. Should I warn against him, or if I warn against him, would that be considered ghibah? That was the question.
The response of the Sheikh was, it is compulsory to warn against him, and it is not considered backbiting. I mentioned previously, the Sheikh said, he mentioned previously, six reasons when you can speak about a person, and this is one of those reasons. Allah mentions in the Quran that you will not find a people believing in Allah and the last day having this affection for those who show enmity to Allah and His Messenger, even if they're their relatives, their father and their sons, their children. Now,
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم وهذه السائلة تسأل عن شروط التوبة من الغيبة. The questioner asked about the conditions of توبة from غيبة.
الجواب الشروط هنا منها الندم على هذا الشيء والأمر الثاني الإقلاع منه والأمر الثالث العزم على أن لا يعود إليه والرابع أن يستبيح الشخص المغتاب إن أمكن ذلك وإن لم يمكن أو ترتب عليه مفسدة أعظم أو مفسدة مساوية للمصلحة فإنه يدعو له حتى يغلب على ظنه أنه كافأه في هذا الدعاء. هذا هو الجواب عن هذا السؤال.
Mentioned the conditions of Toba from backbiting. He says of the conditions, the first one is that you feel sad and some type of remorse for what was done. Secondly, you give it up. Thirdly, you make up your mind never to repeat that again. Fourthly, you try and seek pardon from the person who was the object of this backbiting, if this is possible. However, if this is going to cause a greater confusion or a confusion similar to the wrong that was done, then it is better to stay away from that than stay away from informing him, and rather supplicate for him until you feel that you have given him his due for what you have done wrongly to him. Now,
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. وهذه السائلة تسأل عن كشف الرأس أو شعر أمام والد الزوج وهو غير مسلم. The question is it permissible for me to be uncovered in front of my father-in-law who is a non-Muslim? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الجواب لا يجوز لها أن تكشف رأسها أمام والدي زوجها سواء كان كافرا أو كان مسلما، لكن إذا كان كافر يكون أبلغ. هذا هو الجواب عن السؤال. لأن الله تعالى قال وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن. لكن هذا كافر، لا يجوز لها أن تكشف له. نعم
الشيخ، الآية أو آباء بعولتهن، هل يدخل في ذلك الأب يعني إذا كان مسلما؟
Sheikh Abu Mujahid, I think Sheikh has gone away. I think what happened is because the Sheikh is very, very busy. So once he's done with his part, he goes away to do whatever he has to do. So and again, this is a reminder to our brothers and sisters to take advantage of the Sheikh's time. Alhamdulillah, that this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the mashayikh. And these mashayikh, they are extremely busy. So sometime if you see that there's a pause between, so please have sabr, because there is only that once Sheikh has done with his part, he goes away to do whatever he has to do. And then once the transition is done, then he returns back to finish off. So go ahead, Akhi.
The question was, can a sister show her hair in front of her husband's father who is not a Muslim? The response was no, that this is not permissible for her to show her hair in front of him. Even if it's the husband's father, whether he's Muslim or not. And if he is not a Muslim, then it is more severe or more emphasized. And then the Sheikh quoted the verse of the Quran where it says that they should not show their adornments except to their husbands or to their fathers or to their sons of their husbands and so on. And that is where that ended. Now,
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا القدر، وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء المبارك نشكر سماحة الشيخ على تواجده معنا سائلين الله عز وجل جل جلاله وعز شأنه أن يبارك في علمه وعمله وذريته وأن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته. And with this we conclude with today's session, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his tawfiq, seeking his help, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts and assist us in our affairs. And we also thank our honorable Sheikh for making himself available